Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as recorded by the evangelist Luke. I invite you to listen for the word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your own way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be on this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat whatever is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." These are calls to freedom, stand at the center of what we cherish as citizens of the United States. They represent ideals that we believe in and upon which we want our nation and our government to be built. If you're like me, you probably thought that every delegate at the Second Continental Congress was in favor of freedom, but such was not the case. Many yearned for reconciliation with Great Britain, and not all who favored freedom from the British yoke favored freedom for everybody. In fact, 240 years and 2 days ago, three entire delegations to the Second Continental Congress left because the document they were being asked to sign would approve freedom for black slaves. As you are all aware, this is the 4th of July weekend. The 4th of July, Independence Day, a day for celebrating the birth of our nation, a day for expressing gratitude for the freedoms that we hold dear. All over the country, congregations, lay leaders, and pastors wrestle with how they will treat this day. Well, that's not really true. Some people don't wrestle at all. Some churches will center their time together on all things American, decorating the sanctuary in red, white, and blue, a color guard and a pledge of allegiance, singing of rockets, red glare, and bombs bursting in air. I even recall one group that had the entire congregation join in singing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Other churches and church leaders won't wrestle with how to treat this day because it will simply be ignored. Sunday service will be worship as usual with no mention of this holiday. In the churches I've served, I've always solved the dilemma in the courageous way. I went on vacation. My guess is that none of us here believe that a nation, any nation, should be the object of worship. After all, we are citizens of another kingdom. Our hearts are set on a different plane. We pledge allegiance to our Lord Jesus. So how shall we honor our commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and still express gratitude for the ability to live in this nation at this time? The answer is we do it honestly. We give thanks where the kingdom of God values are embraced and will work for change, where patriotism gets in the way of a right relationship with God. Thomas Jefferson, who penned the Declaration of Independence, believed that freedom originated in the law of nature. Without getting too deeply into Jefferson's theology, suffice it to say that the law of freedom has its origin in the divine. God certainly could have created humankind without freedom, but then we wouldn't be in God's image, would we? Longing for freedom grows out of the longing for oneness with God. There are more than 50 references to freedom in the New Testament. Probably the best known from Jesus' lips is, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But certainly a close second is in Jesus' first sermon, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Freedom is not only in Jesus, freedom is Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus sends out 70 to make known of the coming kingdom. They are equipped for this mission by being de-equipped. They are given power without any tools for power. They are invited to trust only the one who is sending them, the one who will follow. They receive instructions to extend the kingdom of God to others by being a blessing from God. They are to depend on nothing and no one but on the Spirit with which Jesus sends them. In short, they are totally independent unless they opt to be dependent on the Spirit. There's a quick scene change in the big 72 return, rejoicing in all they have done. It seems they were surprised at just how successful they had been, much like anyone who relies on faith and finds that it actually works. They extend peace. They shook the dust from not being welcome. They cured the sick. They had exercised power over demons, but not on their own. Jesus reminds them that their real joy is not in what they had done, but that God knows who they are. Jesus is the kingdom of God, which is close at hand. Freedom is what Jesus is all about. But Jesus is not only about freedom from, Jesus is about freedom for, the freedom to. Methodist Bishop L. Bevel Jones III, bishop in residence at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, notes 16 centuries ago, St. Augustine, or if you prefer, St. Augustine, affirmed that God loves each of us as if we were the only person on earth. Yet God loves all as God loves each. There's no one on earth today that God loves any more than God loves you. Nor is there anyone God loves any less than God loves you. That realization certainly gives us assurance about our own well-being, and hopefully it gives us a greater concern for others. To be truly free is to be able to move beyond self. There may be no greater bondage than the bondage to self. To be free is to be free from responsibility, not from responsibility, but for responsibility. I think of how Jesus, who had everything in the world going for him, power, status, safety, freely chose, to empty himself and take on the form of a servant for the sake of the world. Now, that is freedom. I have a great deal of gratitude and joy at being a citizen of this country. Just as those early disciples took great joy from what they were able to accomplish when sent out two by two. But I make no mistake, I did nothing to merit it any more than they did. French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, wrote, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I started this sermon with some familiar quotes. Allow me to draw to a close with hopefully some equally familiar ones. "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." What shall we do with our freedom? Shall we serve others, or shall we serve ourselves? Do we truly believe in freedom? And if we do, we will seek to live out the fruits of the Spirit we talked about last week, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Let us declare our independence from sin and death. Let us pledge allegiance to a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.